Hi, I'm Vince Ferguson, president of Body Sculpt of New York. Welcome to 6 Weeks of Fitness, episode 21, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, if you know of anyone in need of personal training, group fitness instruction, or nutrition counseling, please contact me at vince@6weeks.com or call 718-346-5852. Now, in this episode, I will be joined by Bree Bythewood, real estate developer, philanthropist, and former cast member of Bravo TV's Blood, Sweat, and Heels. During the interview, Bree shares information about her life, career, changes in her eating habits since becoming pregnant with her first child, and much more. Now, remember the words of Mark Twain, who said, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things that you didn't do than by the ones you did do. So throw off the bow lines, sail away from safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, discover. Now that's worth thinking about. Welcome back to 6 Weeks to Fitness. Bree Bythewood is a third generation New Yorker with an established reputation in journalism, real estate development, and marketing. Bree's passion is philanthropy, specifically supporting the arts and organizations focused on medical research for cancer and autoimmune diseases, as well as those with a mission for ending homelessness and poverty. She was recently seen as one of the cast members in season 1 on Bravo TV's Blood, Sweat, and Heels. I am pleased to have Bree Bythewood on our program. Bree, how are you?
After an introduction like that, I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. But you're such a wonderful person and true to your word coming on the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I am more than thankful towards you, so I appreciate it. And thank you for having me on your show.
Now, first, I must congratulate you. Congratulations are in order. You're expecting your first child. How excited are you?
I am so excited, and I think I have more smile lines on my face than I've ever had anywhere in my body. Like, I am cheek to cheek right now speaking to you, just thinking about the fact that I have a baby girl grown in my belly, and she's going to be here pretty soon.
Wow, that is beautiful. Another young girl, another little lady in the house.
Exactly.
Now, any exclusives, though, you'd like to share, like, the name that you picked out for your little girl?
You know what? I think all of the information that I have to share, that I'm willing to share, I think for the most part, I've probably shared all of it. The expected birth date, and the name, I'm holding on to both of those for a little while. The date I'll reveal eventually, but the name, that won't be revealed until the name belongs to her.
Okay, all right, so we just have to wait for that then.
You'll have to wait for that little bit of information. I'm sorry, but some things a pregnant mommy just has to hold between her belly and her boyfriend, or for others, husbands and fiancés. But we've kept very tight-lipped about it.
Okay, all right, we won't pry it out of you then. I promise. Okay. But now that you're expecting, has your eating habits changed at all?
Do you want to know what? They have. And surprisingly, they've changed for the better. I have always maintained a relatively healthy diet, but I would splurge a lot on, just random sweets and chocolates. And chocolate and candy were always my weaknesses. But I have to say, being pregnant, those are the things that I am going to go ahead and blame it on my daughter and say she just doesn't like them, because my stomach turns at the idea of chocolate and candy. I just can't do it. So I have a healthier diet now, and consciously so to some degree, because I do realize that everything I intake is being fed to her. So
yes.
I'm very aware of that, and I'm very conscious. And sometimes I have cravings. I would love a grilled cheese. And my first thought is, that's a lot of carbohydrate. That's a lot of fat. There's just unnecessary. There's no nutrient in that. So I will opt for something else. And I'll say, okay, well, you know what? Maybe I'll have a salad, and I'll put, cheese in the salad. And maybe I'll have croutons, because it's the carbs, there's the cheese there, but there's nourishment in that food and that dish.
Excellent, though. Okay, so prior to being pregnant, though, you're saying your diet was not the best.
My diet prior to being pregnant, it wasn't bad. It was just, I'm a person that I believe that you should eat what your body craves, not what your mind is craving, not what, you know, you are craving, but your body tells you. There are days that I know that I need something with salt. There are days that I know that I need something with sugar. I know when I'm feeling dehydrated. There are signs and there are symptoms, and the more you pay attention to your body and learn your body and the way it reacts to certain foods and just the level of nutrition you feed your body, the way your body reacts to that, you learn more in regards to your own behaviors and, you know, the things you should eat more of, less of, and the things you should just avoid. So I, you know, again, eating the things that my body craves, I'm very in tune with that and very, very regimented. But then there are the things that, you know, I have my cheats where it's, those are the things that I crave. So, yes, I wake up in the morning and I crave chocolate. So I would wake up in the morning prior to being pregnant and I would have like, maybe like 4 or 5 Hershey Kisses. And then I would go about my day. Now, that's not a normal start to any day. But before being pregnant, it was a start to my every day.
Okay. So you're more conscious now what you're feeding your body because, you know, you're feeding for two.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, you're feeding for two, and it's easier to gain unnecessary weight. And once the baby is born, I do realize that you drop a lot of that weight, but you're still at risk for so many other things. I mean, gosh, I was even tested twice, you know, for gestational diabetes. There's so many things that you don't think about. I never really considered that as being an option or something that I, you know, may ever have to worry about. And thankfully, you know, it came back negative, but the pure fear that that's something that I could be, you know, introducing into my daughter's life and, you know, into my own future, it's pretty terrifying. So you do. You wake up and you realize that you've been given this beautiful blessing and you know, beautiful blessing by me saying that and talking about my daughter. But at the same time, you know, we all have to remember every single one of us has a beautiful blessing, and that's the fact that we wake up, we're breathing, and we have life. So we just need to cherish that a little bit more and pay more attention to it, because it's that old adage that, you know, you don't know what you've got until it's gone. And when your health fades, you wish that you paid more attention to it, and you wish that you had done a lot of things differently. And by that time, it's just too late.
Yes. Such wisdom there, Bree. Such wisdom.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
That is so cool. Yeah, I mean, really, I can listen to you all day. Listen, on 6 Weeks of Fitness, we like to encourage our listeners to eat healthy and exercise because we feel that this is the best way to prevent or reduce the effects of chronic diseases like heart disease and diabetes and hypertension and cancer. It's so important. So eating healthy is the way to go. And I know you said that you listen to your body, and you know what? That's the most important thing. If you're in tune to your body won't steer you wrong, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing is to feed it what it needs. That's the key.
Yeah, you know? Feed it what it needs. And then another way to think about your body, too, is think of your body as a friend. If you were sitting in a room with a friend and there was no conversation and there was nothing to do, you would both be bored. So when you're sitting at work and you're doing something but your body is just sitting dormant, that's your friend, and your friend is bored. So give it an activity, you know, do leg lifts under your desk, you know, pick up some objects, you know, with your, you know, hand and do some arm exercises, get up and walk around the office, stretch your legs, get some activity, go out for a walk on your lunch break. It doesn't take a lot, but there are ways that we can all improve, you know, our habits, our days, our bodies, and our health. And it's, you know, it doesn't take a, you know, huge effort. It's something just simple, just every day. And they say 30 minutes of exercise every day is enough. I mean, I'm not going to the gym, but I do walk. I walk like crazy, and I leave for my lunch break, and I go for a brisk walk. I take the stairs when I walk up and down the subway. If I'm on the escalator, I'm not one to ride the escalator, but I'll walk up the escalator as much as I can. And if I need to take a breath, I'll step to the side and let people pass. But it's just the little things. Not a huge change in anyone's daily routine or their life. It's just the little things.
Yes. And you know, and I was going to ask you about exercise. So it sounds to me like you get it. You know, exercising is important. Just the mere fact that you move your body on a regular, on a consistent basis.
Exactly.
That is excellent. And now that you're pregnant, it's even more important that you stay active. Wouldn't you agree?
I absolutely agree. Absolutely. Number one, I've been told that it makes labor a lot easier. So
yes,
I might end up becoming the most active now, knowing that that may be helpful.
Exactly. Now you're moving for two.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's true. It's true.
This is great. I know you're gonna have a healthy, happy baby.
I appreciate that. I do appreciate that, and I can't do anything other than pray for it. So yes, I'm with you on that, and God willing, that's exactly what I'll have.
Yes, but what I'm getting from you is someone who cares, who really, really mean what she says, and really believe in her heart. You know, that you're doing the right thing for your child, and that's going to take you far.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, so now that we got that out the way.
Now the difficult questions, I know.
Yes. Let's clear up a few things. Earlier, there were online rumors and blogs saying you would not return to the second season of Blood, Sweat, and Heels. Set the record straight for me, Bree. Are you back or not?
No, I'm definitely not going back. I mean, gosh, I knew that long before that was ever revealed. And the interesting thing about that is, you know, it wasn't Bravo that revealed that. It wasn't me that leaked that information. It was someone. I don't know who that someone is because they were,
right.
You know, it's interesting. I'm a very straightforward person, and I'm a very friendly person and a kind person. If I have something to say, I will always attach my name to it. I don't hide between, you know, anonymous, you know, statements. When there is a quote from Bree, it has Bree Bythewood at the end of those quotation marks. This individual has no name, no face. They just have opinion and, you know, improper statements. Yeah. So it's unfortunate that anything like that would be published.
Yes.
It didn't come from Bravo. It didn't come from me. I don't know who released that. And it's unfortunate that they would release it in such a nasty manner. Because, you know, their words were not all truth. So
yes.
You know, it's an unfortunate circumstance, but the only truth of that is that I am not returning. I am focusing on being a mommy, and that is going to be my new focus.
That's even more important, though.
Yeah.
You're bringing a life into the world, okay?
Exactly, and I don't need to be, you know, bringing it into a setting that is going to, you know, put my child in, you know, front of a camera on, you know, a show where people may be judgmental. I'm not looking for judgment because I don't believe that we're placed here for judgment. I believe we're placed here for the better, you know, the better good. And it's not my energy. So I'm not returning. And I do wish everyone that's involved with the show, you know, much success and much luck. I will, you know, certainly tune in when I'm able, when I'm not on baby duty. I will, you know, I'll tune in and see what they've all been up to, but it's not me. It's not a right fit. And I think Bravo and I both came to terms with that and agreed on those terms.
Okay. No, well said. Will you still be in touch with the cast?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's no bad blood. I'm in contact with, we all follow each other on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We like each other's photos. We call each other. We text each other. Some more than others, but
yes,
there's not a single member of the previous cast from first season. There's not a single member that I would feel uncomfortable to reach out to or would ignore their call if they reached out to me.
Wow, that's special, Bree. That says a lot about you, you know, being a wonderful person. It really does. But I know there were some issues on the show between Geneva Thomas and Melissa Ford. Do you know if the cast was able to work that out?
You know what? I have no knowledge of anything in regards to the show. I really have stepped away from that, so it really is not anything that I know anything about. I will say that I did reach out to Geneva and I did reach out to Melissa separately, but I reached out to both of them after I, you know, read, and that's how I found out, same way everyone else did. I read about it, that there was an altercation, and I reached out to both, you know, just letting them know they're on, you know, on my mind, they're in my thoughts, and I hope that they're both doing well. I hope they can work through this. But I have no idea what started this, where it stems from, what the end result will be. I have no idea. I don't know if it will be on the show. I am clueless. I know as much about it as you do.
And, okay.
But yeah, I really am not a cast member. I don't have any involvement with the show. So no idea.
Yes, so you've moved on.
I have moved on. I do have another project that I'm working on. It is also television related, but I'm unable to speak about that right now, but I am in contract already. So
perfect.
Stay tuned.
Exactly.
Everything will unfold after the baby is born. We have that, that agreement in my contract. So I at least have a little tiny little bit of time before we've got to move forward with the new program.
Exactly. Well, when one door closes, another one opens up.
And this is a wonderful one to have opened. It's a beautiful thing.
Exactly. But now on Blood, Sweat, and Heels, it was common for, you know, our viewers to see you wearing some very high heels. But now I don't think you're wearing high heels right now because of the pregnancy, are you?
You know what? It's funny because people have asked me that and I keep saying, no, I'm still wearing my heels. But then I'm looking down at my feet and that's not true. I'm absolutely in flats right now. But I do, if I go to an event or I'm going out to dinner or something, I definitely put my heels on. But for the ease of comfort of just walking around the office, and I do a lot of, like, you know, back and forth and running to meetings and stuff during the day, just for the sake of safety, I like to make sure I have my, you know, flat shoes with me. And
yes.
So I'm you know, enjoying my time in flat heels for now, flat shoes for now, but I will be making a quick return to high heels.
Yeah, because we know that you have a love for fashion, you know.
I do, and I have a closet full of it. So as soon as I can return to, like, my you know, my previous body size and, you know, my comfortable feeling being in high heels, I'll be right back there.
Okay, so it's hard to stay fashionable when you're pregnant, right?
You know what? It's funny. It's actually been a lot of fun because it's not as difficult as I thought it would be. It's not been that difficult, and I've not had to purchase any maternity clothing yet, but I'm pretty close to the end of pregnancy, so I imagine, I don't think that I'll have to end up purchasing much maternity clothing or any at all, but I've somehow managed to survive just wearing, you know, loose-fitting clothing and making it work for me.
It really works for you, which is a good thing. That's excellent. It really is, because, I mean, normally, naturally, you are really well proportioned there, Bree. And so now that you're pregnant, you're carrying most of your weight in your stomach.
Yes.
Right, which is the best place to carry it.
Yeah, it's giving her a lot of room to move around. She's a very active baby, I will say that.
So are you in your eighth month or seventh month?
I cannot tell you that because then you would know when my due date is or my...
we're trying to dig a little deeper. Okay, very good, Bree. Good one. You got me on that one.
I pay attention.
Very good. Now, let's turn our attention to your philanthropy.
Yeah.
Because I understand that you're big on philanthropy, Bree.
I'm huge on philanthropy.
What causes? I mentioned homelessness and AIDS and poverty. Anything else that you're involved in?
You know, the arts as well, because I do believe, you know, I don't have, you know, anything specific that I really focus heavily on other than, like, it's very broad. Health, of course, because we all need our health. And it's just unfortunate that there are so many areas of health that are not ignored, but they're underfunded. So if I can, you know, help raise some awareness or, you know, write a check out to, you know, an organization that's, you know, in support of, you know, ailments that are in need of funding, then I'm happy to do that. So I do focus on health. And then homelessness, you know, being, you know, a New York City girl, it's really difficult to walk. When I leave my office, there are two homeless people I pass every day. And it's so sweet because one of them looked at me the other day and he just said, God bless you. And he's like, you're carrying a child. And he's like, God bless you. And I was just like, God bless you. I was like, thank you so much. I was like, I love that you noticed. And, like, I know their first names. Like, these are people I talk to. Like, these are, like, my, like, I don't call them friends, but they're, like, my chit-chat buddies. I talk to them. And some more than others because some I'm aware are, you know, maybe not stable, so it's a little dangerous to spend time with them. But there are some that are, there's one individual, he's lovely, he's so smart, all he does is read, and he has a highlighter, and he just sits there and just reads. He has all of the classic novels, he reads medical books, he reads everything. I walk by, and I always ask him how he's doing, what he's reading, what he's learned today. He's so well-spoken, and I've never quite figured out why he's in the situation he's in. But he's amazing. But it's just hard to live in New York City and ignore the fact that, you know, there are homeless people everywhere. And, like, what can we do to help, you know, decrease the level of poverty in this big city? And there's a lot of money in this city, a lot of businesses in the city. You know, corporations can be making huge donations. Individuals can be making, you know, small donations. But we can, if it all adds up. if every single person in Manhattan gave $1.
Yes.
I mean, let's be realistic. I mean, if every single person in Manhattan told me they would give me $1, I'd sure accept. I'd be like, I'll take it. I would not turn that down because that's a really big amount. I don't know the exact number, but that's a lot of money. And it's so I just, you know, it's hard to ignore those things. Children, because they're the most innocent. How can we ever neglect a child and, you know, yes. and not extend a helping hand and, you know, help them with education or the arts?
Yes.
Or, there's just so much. I could go on for an hour about philanthropy, but I just, it's what I see with my eyes and what I know in my head is right. And that kind of guides me.
Well, it sounds to me like you're really, you know, you're sincere about it. And that's why I really wanted to bring it up to you, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a conversation that, you know, I don't mind having at all. But like I said, it would take a really long time to get me to shut up about philanthropy because I can go on for a day and a half about it.
Well, let me just say that my organization, well, 6 Weeks of Fitness is a offshoot of Body Sculpt of New York. And Body Sculpt of New York is the not-for-profit arm of the organization, and we focus on children, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So obesity prevention for children.
Yeah.
Because obesity is a major issue, and, you know, obesity is a risk factor for heart disease, diabetes, you know, all these things. And so we're trying to make a difference in that way. So when you mention philanthropy, you know, it definitely strikes a chord in my brain because I care about kids and they're our future. And so we have to do whatever we can to help our children.
Exactly.
And now that you're having a child, you know that to be so true.
Yeah, more than ever. Exactly.
More than ever. So. Exactly. But now I know you and your family are also heavy into real estate.
Yes.
Now, how's that going for you?
It's great. I'm actually at work now. I'm looking at the time and I've got about 5 minutes before I have a huge meeting, but real estate is great. Real estate is wonderful. It's been really, it's taken up most of my time, but it's exhausting. It's a lot of hard work, but it does take a lot of time and the reward is wonderful because, you know, again, it goes back to it. You know, I have two lives in real estate. I have the, you know, job with my family, which is real estate development. And we will purchase, you know, properties or land and build, you know, properties. It's mostly residential, some mixed use, but it goes back to that whole feeling of doing something for someone because someone has to build a house or apartments in order for someone to have a home. So we build those homes. We build those apartments, those condos, those townhomes, you know.
Wow.
So we do that. And that's just, it's a beautiful thing to see from it being an idea on paper to a structure. It's a building. And people live in there, and just to see it function, and then the, you know, the fact that there's like an elevator, and there's, for me, it's mind-boggling, because I know an elevator seems so simple, but it's just to know that you had something to do with that. Like, you take people from floor to floor to floor to their apartments, take them from their apartments to the ground level, out the door, everything is just so, like, it's just so properly planned and the calculations to make sure everything with the architects and the contractors, and there's just so much that goes into it. So that's my life with my family with real estate. So it's a lot. And then on the other side, there's life with Douglas Elliman, which isn't as active just because my development side takes up so much time. But with Douglas Elliman, it's the same type of thing where you're taking people from apartment to apartment in search of their perfect home. Granted, the apartments that we're showing are at really nice price tags. So we have, we have a lot of properties that are in like the, you know, $50 million or $80 million, even $100 million. That's a lot of money. So it's amazing to just, I love the architecture. I love seeing, you know, the buildings and the way people have decorated their homes and getting a feel for people's personal tastes and what people love or hate or the neighborhoods or just, it's just interesting. It's just, I'm a people person. So I love that level of,
sounds like it. Yes.
Yeah. So I love that level of real estate too, because it involves me in people's lives. And I like that.
What's the name of the real estate company? You guys own it or you work for the company?
Well, the real estate development, that is my family's company. We have partners that have ownership in the company as well, but my older brother started the company. He's the president. My dad is the CEO of the company. I'm one of the partners. But it's called La Cité Development, and it's wonderful. And then Douglas Elliman is the real estate, like, brokerage agency side that I work with.
Yes. Yes, I've heard of Element. Definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Now, I know you have to go, so just want to touch on one other thing. I know you said you have an upcoming project. You can't really talk about it right now, but you will let us know. You'll let me know when you can speak about it so I can let my listeners know, right?
Yeah, oh, my gosh, of course. And if you follow me on Twitter, I'm at Bree Bythewood, and also on Instagram, at Bree Bythewood. And I post, you know, random updates whenever I get them, and whenever I'm told I can say something, I post. So, you know, follow me, and for sure, I'll definitely be posting at some point in time. And then, you know, you have my email, so we'll keep in contact, and I'll let you know.
Most definitely. Now, I want you to let my listeners know, though, because I do follow you on Twitter. Give me your Twitter name and also Facebook, how we can stay in touch with you.
Let's do Twitter rather than Facebook, because I'm really not active on Facebook. My Facebook my Facebook page, honestly, my tweets upload to Facebook, and that's how my Facebook page is regularly updated, but it's all tweets on my Facebook page. So Twitter is at Bree Bythewood.
At Bree Bythewood, right?
Bree Bythewood, BrieBythewood.
Just the full name. Perfect.
Full name.
Excellent. Bree, you've been marvelous.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It was a wonderful interview with you, so I appreciate it.
No, you were great. And to my listeners, I want you to thank you for listening in. And that's it for now. Bye-bye.